Sie sehen an Fahrtischen Wurzeln hinein, Schamm und Rasch, und die Durchhalten, gell? Denn da war ein Fahrtchen, gell? Die Fahrtchen, gell? Ja, wenn man dann die Fahrtchen, gell? Kann man mal hinziehen, gell? Kann man mal hinziehen, gell? Ausgegeben, gell? Ausgegeben, gell? Some of it departed, gell? All glories to you, sir. All glories to you, sir. All glories to you, sir. Go pray that day. Thank you all very much for taking part in this evening's program.
Excuse me?
Would
you like to introduce you,
Maharaj? You want to introduce me?
Yeah. Hare Krishna. We'd like to welcome all the devotees to the program tonight. And I have the good pleasure of introducing His Holiness Jayadeva Swami Maharaj.
Hare
Maharaj joined this time. Thank you.
Maharaj joined this time in the late 1960s. And he was very fortunate to have very close association with His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada entrusted him with a service very dear to his heart, assisting him in publishing Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada trusted him with editing and proofreading his books, which is an amazing amount of trust that Srila Prabhupada has in Srila Jayadeva Swami Maharaj. And also he did service with ISKCON Press when Prabhupada first began to distribute transcendental literatures in the United States. Maharaj, as a sannyasi, travels all over the world, to America, to India, to the Middle East, and many, many other countries, speaking with great eloquence the message of Krishna consciousness, representing Srila Prabhupada. He just was teaching in Mayapur Institute. He educates devotees in higher principles of Krishna consciousness. And also very interesting, Maharaj is very exemplary in accounts. He keeps track of every paisa and submits those accounts publicly every year, similar to how Srila Prabhupada has done on the Javaduta, in the Javaduta diary. He's known for his vast knowledge, his eloquence, and he's very expert in answering questions. He's famous for his questions and answers. So during the class, please prepare to ask Maharaj some good questions and you'll get some amazing answers. We'd like to welcome Param Pooja Jayadeva Swami Maharaj in our traditional style by loudly chanting.
Krishna has given me one very deep realization. The classes work better when your cell phones are turned off. Please check your cell phone and see that it's in silent mode. And if you have a pocket camera, please keep it in your pocket. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 9, text 32. Mami Parta Vipashritya
Mami Parta Vipashritya
Yehi Suha Vayonaya
Yehi Suha Vayonaya
Sriyo Vaishastra Shudra
Sriyo Vaishastra Shudra
Tebhyanti Varanditim
Tebhyanti Varanditim
Nami Parta Vipashritya.
Nami Parta Vipashritya.
Yeti Shubha Yonaya.
Yeti Shubha Yonaya.
Striyo Vaishastata Shudra.
Striyo Vaishastata Shudra.
Te Diyanti Parangatim.
Te Diyanti Parangatim.
Mami Parta Vipashritya.
Mami Parta
Vipashritya.
Kebiyante Parangati.
Mami Parta Vipashritya.
Mami Parta Vipashritya. Mami Parta Vipashritya.
Mami Parta Vipashritya.
Yetishu Papayonaya.
Yetishu Papayonaya.
Striyo Vaishastata Shudra.
Striyo Vaishastata Shudra.
Deviyanti Parangati.
Deviyanti Parangati.
Mami.
Mami.
Sure. Parta, O son of Pritha, Vipashritya, particularly taking shelter.
Yea,
those who
Abhi,
also,
Siu,
are
Abhayonaya,
born of a lower
Striya,
women, Vaisha,
Vaisha,
mercantile
people,
Pata,
also,
Shudra,
Shudra,
lower class men,
Devi,
Devi,
even
men,
Yanti,
Yanti, go, Param, to the Supreme, destination. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, Vaishyas, and Shudras, attain the supreme destination. Purport. It is clearly declared here by the Supreme Lord that in devotional service there is no distinction between the lower and higher classes of people. In the material conception of life, there are such divisions. But for a person engaged in transcendental devotional service to the Lord, there are not. Everyone is eligible for the supreme destination. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.18, it is stated that even the lowest were called Chandavas, dog eaters, can be purified by association with a pure devotee. Therefore, devotional service and the guidance of a pure devotee are so strong that there is no discrimination between the lower and higher classes of men. Anyone can take to it. The most simple man, taking shelter of the pure devotee, can be purified by proper guidance. According to the different modes of material nature, men are classified in the mode of goodness, brahmanas, the mode of passion, kshatriyas, and administrators, the mixed modes of passion and ignorance, Vaishyas, and the mode of ignorance, Shudras or workers. Those lower than them are called Chandalas, and they are born in sinful families. Generally, the association of those born in simple families is not accepted by the higher classes. But the process of devotional service is so strong that the pure devotee of the Supreme Lord can enable people of all the lower classes to attain the highest perfection of life. This is possible only when one takes shelter of Krishna. As indicated here, by the word vihashrikya, one has to take shelter completely of Krishna. Then one can become much greater than jnanis and yogis. Om Kanti Nam Tasya
boxing here. I'm not
going to have an equal opportunity. Because the body is different. We have two bodies, the gross body and the subtle body, and they're all different. Particularly as Srila Prabhupada indicates here, we're influenced by different modes of material nature. Some are more influenced by the mode of goodness, some by passion, some by ignorance, some by mixtures of these modes. The person who's largely in the mode of ignorance is not the right person to become a spiritual leader or an educator. Similarly, the person of goodness is not the right person to take up the post requiring executive action. For that you need some passion. So the Vedic literature divides human society into different divisions, and especially four occupational divisions of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya. It may be that this system is sometimes misused, but misuse of something doesn't invalidate proper use. There are those who are the more intelligent and intellectual section. There are those who are more capable for military and administrative affairs. There are more those who are more inclined toward business, farming, and trade. And there are those who are only fit to assist the other sections. They're not intellectual, they're not executive material, they're not entrepreneurs or businessmen, but they can help assist others. Just as in the social body is something like the physical body. In the physical body we have hands, we have arms, we have a belly, and we have legs and feet. And all of the sections are required. Now, if I volunteer, if I ask who here would like to sacrifice his feet, no one would step forward, especially since that would be the last step you take. No one would say, no, I don't need my feet. Or, I don't need my arms. I only need my head. We need all of the sections. But still, comparatively, the head is the most important part. I can carry on without my feet. If necessary, I can go on without my arms. But the head is essential. Without the head, there's no proper direction, no proper understanding, no proper action. If someone's attacking us, we defend, we protect our head. We don't protect the feet first. Therefore, in human society, the head is now given special importance, or the brahminical, those who have brahminical qualifications. Because the society requires, first of all, vision. Where is the sight? What are our values? Where are we going? What is the purpose? That's needed, first of all. Then, to implement that proposition, we need Kshatriyas, or capable administrators, who can translate the Brahminical direction into practical activity. New York City subway cars. Then we require farming, especially farmers, because everyone has to eat. And it would require ordinary workers also, because there's so many matters in which such assistance is needed. So, from one point of view, society should be divided in first class, second class, third class, fourth class, and fourth class. Classless society is not realistic. It's only there as a sort of ideal that will never be realized, because Krishna says, this system for occupational duties is everywhere, because it's created by me. Not a question of India or America or Africa. Wherever we go, we find that there are those who are intellectuals, those who are administrators, those who are businessmen and farmers, and those who cannot. It's everywhere. We may pass laws or do whatever else we want to try to erase these distinctions. But the distinctions will reassert themselves either openly or behind the scenes. And yet Krishna says, Panditava Samadarshan, the learned person sees everyone to be equal. He sees everyone the same. So how is it possible that microphone is turned up too high, the person is turned speaking back, did someone change a setting or something? Hare Krishna. Okay, that's fine. So the equality is there on a spiritual platform. Within every living being, or within every body, the soul is there. And the antavantanime deha nityasyokta shirida. The body is a temporary thing. But within the body is the soul, who's the actual person within the body. That soul, that particle of consciousness, brahma, is equal in all the different bodies. It may be just like a fire. Fire is actually equal. Just sometimes there's more fuel, so it seems to be bigger. Sometimes there's less fuel, it seems to be smaller. But it's the same. Fire is fire. Just a question of how much fuel is supplied, or what kind of fuel. All the bodies may be different, but the soul is the same. The soul, the body will be left behind. Antavanta, it comes to an end, and it will be discarded at the time of death. But Nityasyokta Shirina, the owner of the body, or the occupier of the body, of the soul, is eternal. And after leaving this body, he can either come back and take another body, or he can go back home, back to Godhead, back to Krishna. Here Krishna says, everyone can come to me. It's not only that the Brahmins can come to Krishna, and the Shudras have to stay in this material world. Everyone. It doesn't matter. Papi, or those who are born of sinful families, or Stri, Sudra, Dvija, Vandruna, the women, the laborers, the unqualified sons of Brahmins, businessmen, everyone. Simply the qualification is Mahi Bharta Vyapashrutya, to take particular shelter of Krishna. Vyapashrutya means completely taking shelter of Krishna, specifically Mahi Bharta. I am Shaya Taja, to take shelter of Krishna, exclusively. Not Krishna on Tuesday and Ganesha on Thursday, not Durga on Saturday and somebody else on some other day. Mahamekam, to take shelter of Krishna, not to have our consciousness display. Vyavasaya Mekam Bhutya. If our consciousness is displayed, then there's no question of attaining perfection. If our consciousness should be focused on Krishna, because Krishna claims, Mami wants a jiva loke, a jiva buddhisattva. All living beings are part of me. So Virabhashya, and as Prabhupada mentions in the second canto, vivid examples are given. Kirata Gunandra Kulinda Purushad, Apira Shunpabhu Vanakrishad. Ye ye Chapapa, Virabhashya, Shudyanti, Tasmaya Purushad. This is a list of different people who are considered uncivilized. Kirata, Shubha, Kirata, Hun, Andra, Belinda, Ulkusha. These are names of different uncivilized communities. And normally we would say, these people are unfit. They can't enter the temple. They can't study the Vedas. They can't take part in fire, you know, sacrifices or ritualistic ceremonies, because they're low class in traditional the traditional caste system. There are people who are excluded because they're coming from a low community. But Sri Shukadeva Goswami says that all of these people, whoever they are, even if they're coming from sinful background, because the body is a result of our previous activities. So if we're born in a very exalted family, say Brahmin family, very high culture, or if we're born in a very prosperous family, this is on account of past pious activities. And if we're born in a very low family, then it's on account of best simple activities. But Krishna says, it doesn't matter. Or Shukadeva Goswami says, it doesn't matter. Pious, sinful. Anyone who takes shelter, yadapashrayashraya, one who takes shelter of someone who's taken shelter of Krishna, tepiyanti paramita, he also can attain perfection. On the strength of such statements, Srila Prabhupada spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. The people in Europe, America, Latin America, Africa, Australia are not considered the highest section of people. And even among those, there are higher and lower sections. Among the uncivilized people also, there are those who are the heads of the uncivilized societies, and those who are the lower members. But Srila Prabhupada spread the Krishna consciousness movement without consideration. Low family also means low habits. It's not just low income. The expression is there are low-income families, those who don't have much money. But generally, along with low income, we find low habits. Drinking, smoking, gambling, woman hunting. Because the motive ignorance. So along with the motive ignorance, all of these things are there. Intoxication, meat-eating, gambling, illicit sex. But Srijanti, it doesn't matter. Whatever one's background, if he takes shelter of Krishna, then Srijanti, by taking shelter of a pure devotee of Krishna, he can be pure. And then take the yanti pranam. He also becomes eligible to attain the destination which even the most exalted Brahmins who are not devotees of Krishna are unable to reach. So, yeti parti yupashu, yeti siu bhakti yonaha, striya shudhistata vaishas tepi yanti pranam. So it's an open invitation from Krishna. It doesn't matter, just like Ramananda Roy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was planned to go touring in South India, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya advised him that there's one man you should meet. He appears to be just a politician, and actually he's coming from a lower caste, so by social analysis, he'd be considered Shudra. But by discussion with him, I can understand that he's very advanced in the science of Krishna. So you please, when you go to South India, find him out, hear from him. I think you'll find it is very wonderful. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that. He met him. And he was inquiring from him about the science of Krishna. But Ramananda Roy said that you're coming from a Sarsha Brahmin community, community, and I'm just a Shudra. You're a sannyasi also, and I'm a householder. But what can I speak to you? But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kiva Vitra Kiva Nyasi Shudra Kaun Roy. Jay Krishna Tattvaveta Shade Rupa. It doesn't matter. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Panakastha, Sannyasi. Jay Krishna Tattvaveta Shade Rupa. Anyone who knows the science of Krishna can act as a bona fide spiritual master. And those who take shelter of him can attain the highest destination. Krishna doesn't consider that I won't accept this person or that person. Anyone who takes shelter of him, Krishna accepts. All right. Are there some questions? Yes.
This Vyapashitya word you mentioned that Bhami Bhami.
More profound.
Vyapashitya. Particularly, in one sense, it is particularly spoken.
Vyapashitya. We mean Vishesha, particularly, especially. So what's your question?
Question is that Krishna is already in mind. Bhami Bhami.
The acoustics are not very good, so just speak a little slowly.
This Krishna is speaking Mam already, and then all, again he's adding Vyapashitya.
Mam Vyapashitya.
So is it?
Mam means he could have said surrender to me. But he says especially to me, particularly to me, or exclusively to me. He could have said Sarvata Mataraman Pratyaja, Mam Sharanam Braja. But he says, Ekam. Mam Ekam Charanam, exclusively. Particularly.
Another question was that regarding devotees who are performing the activities of the Shudra. So, because of the nature they are having, so how when they get elevated,
the devotee is already elevated. Doesn't matter what he's doing. He may be a Brahmin by occupation. He may be Shudra by occupation. you know the story of the Brahmin and the Kavya. The Narad Muni was on his way to Vaikuntha. On the way, he met a very high-class Brahmin who was doing his sadhana. So the Brahmin inquired that, Narad Muni, where are you going? So Narad said, I'm going to see Narayan. So the Brahmin requested that when you see the Lord, please ask him, when will I be the Lord? So then Narad Muni agreed. And he's on his way and he meets a cobbler also, shoemaker. So shoemaker is not considered a very high class position. They take the skins of dead animals and make shoes. Now, of course, using rubber and plastic, but traditionally dead animal skins. So he's doing his work. And where are you going? Well, I'm going to meet Lord Maharaj. Well, please ask him when he'll be the bridge. So Narada agreed. He went to Vaikuntha and met Lord Narayan. They had some discussion. And Narada said, one thing is that I met one Brahmin and one cobbler, and they want to know when they'll achieve liberation. Lord Narayan said, yes, that Brahmin, I know him, he'll take. He'll be liberated after 1,000 births. And the cobbler, this birth immediately. So Narayan was a little astonished that this high-class Brahmin has to wait for 1,000 births. And cobbler was immediately so he said, how is that? Narayan said, no, you tell him. When they ask you what I was doing, tell them I was threading an elephant through the eye of the needle this way and that way. So Narada went back to the earth. He met that Brahmin. So the Brahmin was very happy to see him. Did you see Lord Narayan? Yes. Did you ask him? Yes. After 1,000 births. So the Brahmin was naturally disappointed. But he asked anyway, what was the Lord doing in the matter? And I said, yes, he was pulling an elephant through the eye of a needle this way and that way. Brahmin said, oh, Narada, you're always telling stories. So then Narada went on, he met the cobbler. And the same question, you'll be liberated immediately. So naturally, the cobbler was very pleased. And he asked, what was my Lord doing? So Narada said, yes, pulling the elephant this way and that way through the eye of the needle. The cobbler said, oh, Lord Narayan is so great. Narada said, you believe it? Yes, why not? He said, I'm sitting here under this banyan tree. And in this banyan tree, there are so many seeds. And in each seed, there's a whole new tree. So if Lord Narayan can make this arrangement and put so many trees and so many seeds, then pulling the elephant through the eye of the needle, that's not a very big work for him. That means that the cobbler, the shoemaker, was a pure devotee. And the Brahmin was just an official Brahmin, following external rules and regulations. So Krishna is not impressed simply by external show.
He wants to see the heart of the devotee.
Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada. This question is on the topic of Varna. You mentioned we had a discussion of Varna, and my question is that what if we have mixed tendencies in Ramana? How do you identify Ramana? You might have some intellectual tendencies like that of Ramana.
How do you do what?
We might have some intellectual tendencies like that of Ramana, and we might have some like good with machines or musical instruments like a shudra. So like a mix, a melange. So what to do if we find ourselves in this situation?
The best thing is to be a devotee of Krishna. Manmana Pavamatta. And the devotee can do everything. He can do intellectual work if he's inclined that way. He can do manual labor. The devotees are picking flowers. Flower picking is not an intellectual occupation, but they're picking flowers for Krishna. That's also a practical work. Devotees are cleaning the temple floor. So cleaning is the business of the shudras. But he's not a shudra, he's pure devotee. So the devotee can do everything, anything and everything for the service of Krishna. Prabhupada was publishing books, and he was going to the printers, he was negotiating paper purchases. The Brahmins know how to turn off their cell phones. How about you put it away?
Keep it till after class.
Anyone else who saw cell phone rings? I'm working in Africa. They're very poor there. We want to distribute a lot of books, so we'll accept your cell phones. In this age also, no one's a perfect Brahmin. No one's really acting as properly qualified in anything. But still, things should be divided as far as possible in different sections. But unless one is Krishna conscious, then it's all useless waste of time. Atatum vir yuja shreshta marnashana vipagasha. Asunushkitasya karma sisamsadir habitosha. Whatever our occupation, it becomes first class when by our occupational duty we please Krishna. And tarma sunushkita komsam visvakshena katasuya. No pradiyevi vivatin, shamayati eating. Otherwise, we may perform our duties very expertly in terms of the social divisions, Brahmana, Kshatriya. But if we don't become attracted to the lotus feet of Krishna, then we're wasting our time. Doesn't matter. Okay. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. Very beautifully explained in the beginning of the lecture that there is no concept of being equal rights according to Vedic concept, and because materially people will have different qualifications naturally. It seems that the competition and envy which is arising is just because of this lack of understanding.
Lack of
this understanding.
Everyone is thinking about controlling and exploiting resources of material nature. And therefore everyone is envious of everyone else. Because everyone's a competitor. But when we agree to serve Krishna, then there's no competition, material competition, because the aim is the same, to please Krishna. Even if there's competition, the competition is purified. Because here, I'm trying to satisfy my senses, you're trying to satisfy your senses, and we're competing over limited resources for our own sense gratification. But the devotees are competing to please Krishna. So that competition becomes enlivening. That competition is beneficial for all concerned. Sang Siddhi Habitosha. Is that okay?
So, turning the desire from enjoy to serving Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Turning the desire from enjoying to serving Krishna.
Yes. There was a question in the back.
When do we offer respect according to Varna? And
when do we offer respect according to Varna? All the time.
And when do we offer respect according to devotional standards?
All the time.
What is the conversation?
Doesn't matter. Just like Nawab Hussain Shah. Sanatan Goswami was skipping out on his government duties. He was the prime minister of the government. But when he became attracted to Krishna consciousness, he was no longer interested in government affairs. So he was calling in sick, presenting a medical excuse. But actually he was staying home and studying Srimad Bhagavatam with learned Brahmins. So the Nawab was not very happy about this, and he got the report that actually this is what's going on. So then he came there himself to see, you know, what's going on, to try to get his prime minister back in proper slot. So when he entered the assembly, all the Brahmins stood up. Nawab Hussain Shah was a lecher. And these were all highly elevated Brahmins. But because he was the king, they offered him respect. About Raghunath Das Goswami, you know, he made a big feast for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. Chiradvaya Mahotsav. Chiradvaya Mahotsav. He was distributing profuse prasad. And it's described that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting on a platform, a little, you know, separate, a little distinguished, with some of the intimate devotees, sannyasis, and big, big men. They're just, they're big men, and they may be government officers, or they may be big donors, or they may be somebody big. So they're offered respect. The sannyasis were offered respect because they're sannyasis, they're supposed to be advanced in devotional service. And the big, big men were offered respect because they're big, big men. Even the ant is offered respect. Every living entity is entitled to respect. They're respectful names for all the different orders. Just like the Brahmanas, Panditji, and for the Kshatriyas. Chaudhary, like that. For the Vaishyas, Sethji. And for the Shudras, Mahajan. They're all given some respectful title. Now, I may respectfully ask them differently. The farmer, I'll ask him respectfully, how is your farm going? How are the cows? quickly on your getting sufficient rain and production. I would ask him about study and philosophy. That's the business of the Brahmins. How is the kingdom peaceful? Is everyone properly engaged in their prescribed duties? So that everyone is offered respect. Amanina Amanadeva. Not that this person should be respected, that person. Dida Dida Janatriyo. Dida Karo. The Gomshamis were dear to everyone. They were respectful to everyone. They were friendly to everyone. They didn't say, "Oh, you're not a Brahmin, get out of here. You're polluting my bhajan kuti." No. Respectful to everyone. Practical affairs. If the police come, if they stop my car, or if they enter the house, and they'll start asking questions, I'll say, "Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, officer. No, officer." I don't say, "Wait a second, how many rounds are you chanting?" He's a government officer, I have to offer him respect. If I know it's good for me.
Take this off.
Okay, that's what I needed. You don't need it anyway, right? Nothing special in Nokia, but... take what it costs. You have rich to love or something.
And then, I have a question, like, when we are guiding some devotee, then... if they have some particular nature, like some people have intellectual nature, they like to read here. At the same time, some people just like to serve.
Okay.
They don't want to read here. But at the same time, they have seen that if people don't read here, then eventually there are chances that they will leave the movement also.
No, you keep them nicely engaged. They'll stay for, I don't know. Some are more intellectual. They have to always have some intellectual engagement where they're not satisfied. And others, and give me some service to them. And if you keep them nicely engaged, see that they have nice prasadam, see that they have nice service, always treat them nicely. And if they're not intellectually inclined, we'll let them take part in the kirtan. The kirtan is sufficient. And Hare Krishna and Sri Jyoti, they'll be purified. And not that we have to force them. Read books, read books, read books, read books. By chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna will give the direction to the Dhamma will be opened.
I heard one quotation that if you read, if you distribute my books, you will become happy. Sometimes I've heard. And if you read my books, then you will stay.
Yeah, that's good. But your question was, suppose someone's not a reader.
They like to read, but then they say, okay, this much you must read minimum.
So then, do we have to force? No, you have to read, you have to be like a scholar. No, you engage in chanting Hare Krishna, doing practical work. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
just wanted to know that when our faith sometimes, we have been performing devotional service for a few years, but sometimes our faith shakes, sometimes our doubts come up, sometimes our faith shakes. We don't know how it is happening, why it is happening, but sometimes it happens. Then how to deal with that? How to restore our faith, keep our faith?
By association with devotees and by knowledge. Faith is weak because we don't know very much. You know, just like I come to some. I was in an airport in Africa. I didn't know how things work there. It's a very strange airport, actually. But you give this to this person and this to this person, and you know, you sort of like lose sight of your things, and you wonder, is this going to come back? Are they stealing everything? Because you're unfamiliar with the system. But then you know that after you've seen how it works, and you know, when I give this to this person, he gives it to that person, he gives it to the next person, and at the end it comes to me. Or, like the internet, people who don't know, or simple thing, that you go to some place and you give money, and they give you a piece of paper. And the piece of paper says, yes, you can get on the plane. So you're wondering, I don't know, it's just a piece of paper, can I get on the plane? But as you understand, then the next thing is, they don't give you a piece of paper. They just say, here's your number. Then people are wondering, is it all right? Then, well, where's my piece of paper? I only get a number. But then as they come to know how the system works, no, I don't. What do I want a ticket for? I just lose it. I have my number, that's all. So the doubt is destroyed by knowledge. And we get knowledge by hearing from advanced devotees. So we should always keep company of devotees and hear about Krishna. How to
take shelter practically.
Take shelter of a pure devotee of Krishna. Taking shelter of Krishna is very difficult. First we have to find it. And then he may be very demanding. And we don't know whether we did the right thing or not. Anyway, if we take shelter of the devotee of Krishna, he's more merciful than Krishna. And Krishna becomes favorably disposed. This person is the servant of my devotee, that's all. He comes to the transcendental platform, which is beyond the mode of goodness. Now, in his progress, he may see that he goes from being ignorant to being passionate, from being passionate to being peaceful. But that's more or less external. The real thing is that he's being engaged in Krishna service, and that places him in a different position. Better than here, Krishna never says, a person in the mode of goodness can come to me. But even the Shudra, who's supposed to be in the mode of ignorance, if he takes shelter of me, can come to me. Can you turn down the bass and up the treble? On this, his microphone. Yeah.
So, is it just the complete absence of passion and ignorance?
In what?
Shuddha Sattva?
In the Shuddha Sattva, it's a complete absence of passion and ignorance, yes. Vishuddha Sattva means pure goodness. There's nothing else.
Maharaj, on the topic of exclusivity, Maha Ekamashana Praja, Lord Jesus Christ also says in the Bible, I am the way, I am the life, none will come to the Father through me. So this also seems like exclusivity. Can you compare and contrast these two statements in Bible and Bhagavad Gita?
Jesus Christ is Son of God. So same thing. Take shelter of the devotee, pure devotee of God, qualified spiritual master. It's the same thing. When Krishna says surrender to me, actually it means surrender to my pure devotee.
Shuddha Sattva stage is Vishuddha Sattva stage, beyond the modes. So sometimes we hear that the complete absence of the mode of passion and ignorance. And other times we also have heard that it is beyond the three modes. That no goodness, no passion, no ignorance. Naistra Gunya Bhavasa, that's what he said. And other times we heard that
it is pure goodness is not material goodness.
So what is the difference between pure goodness and pure goodness?
I'm sorry.
What is the difference between the goodness and the pure goodness?
Pure goodness is... In pure goodness, one is absorbed in the service of Krishna. In material goodness, one is absorbed in peace, knowledge, gentleness, austerity,
and so on. Generally, you have heard the statement that it's absence of ignorance and passion. So why not absence of goodness, passion and ignorance, like that?
It's also put that way. Sagunara Samadhi chant down. Nistragam and Rodavarga, same thing. But that state of goodness in which there's neither passion nor ignorance nor material goodness, that's called Vishuddha Sattva.
And this Tada Rajas Tamo Bhavat, that shloka also. It's Evam Prasanna Manaso Bhagavad. So, how it is the same thing? Or the,
how it is the same thing? Could you phrase that question more precisely? What do you want to know?
Tada Rajas Tamo Bhavat Kama Loma.
Another verse, what's your question?
So, in that, also it is said that Rajas Tamo Bhavat. But it is not mentioned specifically.
Stitam Sattve Prasiditi. One, as he begins the process of devotional service, he becomes free from passion and goodness. He comes to the mode of goodness, his mind becomes involved in the mode of goodness. Then, Evam Prasanna Manaso Bhagavat Bhakti Yogata. And Bhagavat Tattva began, Mukta Sahiti comes on to the next day, pure devotional service. Just like it said, Nashta Prayeshu Bhaktesh, all the unwanted things, almost all the unwanted things are driven away. Then he has to continue, and those, whatever's left, will also disappear. Okay. Yes? Oh my goodness. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you're saying.
How does Prince Krishna consciousness come out to achieve various difference?
Could you hear that? Our acoustics are quite bad, so even you spoke loud enough, but I still couldn't understand.
Spread Krishna consciousness among the three things of difference.
Spread Krishna consciousness among the what?
Army made in
I couldn't get it.
Among he said, how to spread Krishna consciousness among three wings of defense, army, navy, and air.
How do you spread Krishna consciousness among the three wings of defense, army, air force, and navy? You go to the army base, you go to the navy base, and you go to the...
Yes.
can't hear you. What?
I desire to spread, but I cannot go in with my lot. That's
what
somebody...
Take a friend. If you can't go alone, take a friend. Do it. Take some of the devotees here with you.
They said we are not allowed to go in here.
Then go yourself. Take Krishna with you. He's your best friend and they can't stop him.
Who are the pure devotees like you?
Don't wait for pure devotees like me. You be a pure devotee. Just do it. If you can't be a pure devotee, pretend to be a pure devotee. Just take some books. Or you take some books with you. They're written by a pure devotee. And all you have to do is deliver. Just like the postman, he may not be a great writer or a great intellectual, but you order a book, the postman delivers it, and it doesn't matter who he was, you get the greatest message. So if you're not a pure devotee or something like that, you can be a postman, right? So just go into the army base, flash your ID badge or whatever it is, and bring books with you, and distribute all the books. And the army won't know, they'll think you came along, but actually you brought a pure devotee with you. Not only one pure devotee, but Narad Muni, Brahma, the whole parampara of pure devotees.
By doing 16 terms of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Golok is reserved.
16 rounds in what?
By doing 16 rounds of chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, is Golok reserved? Is Golok reserved?
Is Golok reserved? Yeah, it is. You just avoid the 10 offenses. It's not just a question of number. Krishna doesn't, he's not sitting there with a calculator or whatever. He wants to see what your heart is. Yes.
Surrender. Means we did not do 16 rounds also. If we take one time also.
Just do one mantra and go, right? And if you do it with perfect devotion, then Krishna will say, that's all right, it only required one. Just one. Don't even chant one round, chant one mantra. But purely, 100%. And then you can go. You don't have to chant all these 16 rounds every day. Just chant one mantra purely.
How to reset?
Chant 16 rounds.
In order to chant relatively, like, if you try to chant loudly, then it disturbs, like, it disturbs other people. But if you try to chant softly, like, mind matters, like, how to balance.
Loudly chanting disturbs other people? Come here. And then they don't get disturbed. Come, where they get disturbed also, devotees get disturbed, you're chanting loudly?
Yeah, like, the sound becomes more than
I couldn't hear.
When the sound become loud, it would disturb the neighboring devotees. My sound disturbs.
But if you chant too soft.
If you chant too soft, you're going to have a problem, then too soft. Somehow you have to adjust. Maybe last question.
Hey, Mr. Man. Devotees are different. Devotees like have different qualities, and somebody is senior and somebody is junior. So, we respect different devotees according to their position. So, we know that, but I think as a practicing devotee, still I have the desire to have equal rights. So, we want to be respected equally, although we are not qualified, but we want to be get facilities equally. So, how to come on that platform that we can.
Where what? How to come on that platform, where what?
How can we can come on that platform that we are satisfied in our position and go on practicing Krishna consciousness and not disturb them?
You have to remember the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, you'll be more happy by offering respect to others. Materialists never get enough respect. They always want more. However much they have, it's never enough. But the devotee wants to offer respect to others, so he becomes actually happy. What will respect do for me except give me trouble? What will respect do for me except give me trouble? Once I start getting respect, and I start getting puffed up, and I start forgetting Krishna. So, why do I want that? That Madhavendra Puri, Gopinath, Devi, stole some sweet rice for him, kept it aside, and instructed the Pujari, you bring this to Madhavendra Puri, he's there in the bazaar someplace. And let him know this is for him. So the Pujari came, whoever is Madhavendra Puri, Gopinath has kept this sweet rice for you. So Madhavendra Puri, because it was given by the Gopinath deity, he accepted it. And then he knew that now as soon as the word gets out, everybody's going to start touching my feet and say, oh, Swamiji, blah, blah. So he immediately left. He didn't think, here's my chance, once everybody gets to know him, then he left. Because the devotee is not thinking that respect will do me a lot of good. Better to avoid the entanglement. Is that okay? Amani na manabeya. Respect should be given to everyone. And ultimately, the respect is for Krishna. We're not offering respect to everyone's material body, but everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. And so we respect Krishna by offering respect to everyone. Okay. And I keep asking questions. Should we take another question?
One last one.
One last.
Why do we hear that everything in the spiritual world is spiritual?
But what?
Everything in the spiritual world is spiritual. So air in the spiritual world and then ground in the spiritual world. Are they different personalities? Or how is it?
Everything is chit. In the spirit, in the material world, everything is made of material energy. And in the spiritual world, everything is spiritual energy. So everything is conscious in the spiritual world. In the material world, everything is unconscious. Building materials are conscious in the spiritual world. In the material world, they're just inert blocks. And in the spiritual world, they're conscious beings.
Are they different persons?
Everything is person.
Like a flute of Krishna, jewelry of Krishna. Flute of Krishna, jewelry of
Krishna. Flute, yeah, everything is person.
Is there, they come into Jivatattva or something?
Maybe, some may be Jivatattva. Some may be directly Shakti Tattva, internal energy. Everything is manifest by all of it in the spiritual world. Through one or another energy. In the material world, everything is manifest. Also, it's Krishna's energy, but it's a reflection of the spiritual energy. And in the spiritual world, it's the same. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.